Hello and welcome to another edition of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is your host, John Jantz, and my guest today is Tony Shea. He is the CEO of online shoe and clothing retailer Zappos.com. And prior to that little venture, he co-founded and sold internet advertising network Link Exchange. He's a graduate of Harvard University, and today we're also going to call him an author because we're going to talk about a book that is going to come out any day now called Delivering Happiness, A Path to Profits, Passion, and Purpose. So, Tony, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So, we will definitely get into this whole happiness riff that you have really turned into somewhat of your own personal brand, but certainly infused Zappos with it too. But can you give us, just for the two people out there in the world that maybe are not that familiar with Zappos, a little bit of kind of the history of your involvement and growing that to this, and that can be the short version, but I want to set the table a little bit.
Sure. And so Zappos has been around for a little over 10 years now, and annually we do a little over $1 billion in gross merchandise sales. We started out selling shoes, but today we sell a lot more than shoes. We sell clothing, even housewares and kitchenware and beauty products. And really the number one driver of our growth, you know, when we started we had no sales, and now in 2008 was when we hit $1 billion in gross merchandise sales for the first time. The number one driver has been through repeat customers and word of mouth. And internally, we like to say that we're a service company that just happens to sell shoes. And really, that's what we want the Zappos brand to be about. It's just the very best customer service and customer experience. So, you know, we're hoping 10 years from now, people don't even realize that we started out selling shoes online. And it doesn't even actually have to be about shoes. We've talked about we've had customers email us and ask us if we would please start an airline. and 20 or 30 years from now, I wouldn't actually rule out a Zappos Airlines. That's just about the very best customer service. So I guess one brand we look at for inspiration sometimes is Virgin. They're in a whole bunch of different businesses, music, airlines, and so on. The difference is the Virgin brand is more about being hip and cool, whereas we just want to be about the very best customer service.
Well, and certainly the service and the culture are legendary. It's kind of a running joke at conferences that I go to now that it's almost like a drinking game. You know, when everybody has to drink when the next speaker gets up there and cites Zappos as a great example of customer service. Is that something that you can honestly say, looking back 10 years ago, was the big idea, or did it just happen because that's who you are, that's what this company became?
No, that definitely was not the original idea, and you know, that's part, you know, a lot of people, if they just look at us from the outside or they just heard of us, they kind of think, oh, we must have had this master plan and you know, we've just been executing on it. But the truth is we've made a ton of mistakes along the way, and that's actually part of the point of my book that's coming out, Delivering Happiness, because I kind of chronicle the big learnings and mistakes that we've made at Zappos. And then even prior to Zappos, I made a ton of mistakes with Link Exchange and other businesses I was involved with. So part of the point of the book is to, you know, hopefully help other business owners and or just business people in general and entrepreneurs avoid some of the same mistakes that, you know, we learned the hard way. And you know, there's definitely things that I wish we did on day one, but we didn't figure it out till 5 years into it. And I think if we had done from day one, we would have gotten to where we are that much faster. And really, that's one of the big goals of the book.
So you kind of failed your way to $1.2 billion. nobody's buying
fail.
That.
but you'll find through, because I think, you know, it, especially as being an entrepreneur, it can be pretty lonely sometimes when you obviously have the people in your company, but a lot of times there's a lot of doubt, am I going down the right path, or just, you know, not really having support system. And so part of it is to show that it's actually normal. You know, there were tons of times in Zappos' history when we were on the brink of going out of business. And so I tell some of those stories and how we overcame those challenges.
You know, people really connect with stories, and I'm going to go on that point in a minute, but I want to, this is a quote I grabbed. You get quoted a lot, so I can't even remember where I grabbed this, but talking about the book, you said, "I wanted to write a book to talk about the journey that I took in life in terms of what would bring myself long-term happiness, and what I accidentally discovered is that you can actually take concepts from happiness and apply it to business." So you want to talk about that?
Sure. So two or three years ago, I just as a hobby, like having nothing to do with Zappos, I just started just getting interested in this whole field that's basically, it's called positive psychology, but it's basically about the science of happiness. And so I'm not talking about, you know, kind of going to the self-help section and buying books that say, think positive and you'll be happy, but stuff that's actually based on research. And what's interesting about this field is prior to 1998, almost all of psychology was really about trying to figure out how do you take people that have something wrong with them and make them more normal. But almost nobody bothered to study how to take normal people and make them happier. So one of the consistent findings in the research is that people are actually very bad at predicting what will bring them long-term happiness. So for example, there's studies on lottery winners that look at their happiness level right before winning the lottery and then a year later, and they find that a year later it's the same or maybe even a little lower than it was right before winning the lottery. And so that's, you know, pretty counterintuitive. And so I started reading books and articles and just reading up on the research that's already been done. And then it kind of, I guess in some ways it seems obvious in retrospect, but maybe a year or so into it, realized, okay, at Zappos, we're really, we eventually figured out, okay, we really want to be about the best customer service and focus on making customers happy. And then we, for us, our company culture is our number one priority. And our whole belief is that if we get the culture right, then most of the other stuff, like delivering great customer service or building a long-term enduring brand, will happen naturally on its own. And so with all the culture stuff that we do, it's about making employees happy. And then we also try to apply that to our vendors as well. And so suddenly just had this aha moment where I realized the stuff I was just learning about on my own as a hobby actually could be applied to business as well. And really the Zappos brand, you know, the thing that encompasses all of that is we're about delivering happiness, whether it's to customers or employees or vendors and so on. And then it was also interesting reading, and as I was reading up on this, some of the stuff that we had kind of experimented around with and maybe done on a more instinctual level, like actually makes perfect sense when you look at the different frameworks of what actually makes people happy that the research has found. And then there's other stuff where because we had that framework, then we could be take less of a trial and error approach to making employees happier or customers happier.
You know, and the whole idea of this brand, you know, whatever the attributes are, I think so many people sort of focus outward with that. And I think that what you've done is focused maybe initially on making your employees happy with the idea that they're probably going to treat the customers just about as good as you're treating them. And I think a lot of organizations sort of miss that point because it doesn't, you know, there's not a direct line that people can see. Do this with your employees and you will get this in sales. Is that something that you have determined that you can measure and analyze?
Well, I guess, you know, in theory, there, different companies go about it in different ways. And so there's some companies that really focus on how do we figure out all the systems and processes and procedures so that the customer has a great experience. I think the challenge with that is it's almost impossible, or I would actually say it is impossible to take into account every possible customer touch point. Like you can take care and address the major ones, but it's the ones that you can't anticipate for that really show whether the customer or whether the company cares about the customer at its core. And so, to your point about the external part of it, I guess one way to look at it is that, you know, there are companies out there that really focus more on the marketing side of things, and that's about what the companies say. And then for companies that try to prescribe for their employees on how to act, for example, you know, make sure to, and they basically script their interactions. They say, okay, this is what you say when you do this with the customer in this situation, and then when this happens, then do this. And so those companies, I think, really focus more on how they behave or what they do. And then for us, we've kind of taken a different approach where, rather than focus on what we say or what we do, our focus is really more on who we are. And that comes down to our core values. And so we have 10 core values, and, you know, a lot of companies have, especially bigger corporations have, they might call them core values or guiding principles or so on, but the difference is that usually they're kind of, you know, they're very lofty sounding and read kind of like a press release, and maybe you learn about it on day one of orientation, but then it's just this meaningless plaque on the lobby wall. And for us, we wanted core values that we could actually commit to, and by committing to, meaning we're willing to hire and fire people based purely on the core values, regardless of their individual job performance. And then our performance reviews are also 50% based on whether they're living or inspiring the values in others. And so essentially what that boils down to is making sure that we hire people whose personal values match the corporate values. And when that happens, you know, and if you do that consistently across the company, then suddenly every employee is just automatically living and exuding the brand just by being who they are naturally. And so you don't need to really prescribe all these different processes or procedures or behaviors that you ask them to do.
This sounds like a marvelous time to tell the pizza story. Are you tired of telling that story?
Sure, I can tell. So basically, this happened a few years ago. I was in Santa Monica, and during the day for a sales conference with one of our brands, Skechers, and at night, a bunch of us decided to go bar hopping. There was a few people from Zappos and a few people from Skechers, and we probably had one too many drinks and went back to the hotel room, and one of the girls from Skechers really wanted to order a pepperoni pizza, and so called room service, but by then it was 3 a.m. and that hotel didn't serve hot food after 11 p.m. And so we, in our inebriated state, the people from Zappos just started joking around and saying, oh, you should call Zappos, we're about the best service, blah, 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 and we'll take care of you, and really just as a joke. But she took us up on the dare and put it on speakerphone, called Zappos and tried to order a pizza, and the rep put her on hold and asked if she could be put on hold for a little bit, and then came back and listed the 5 closest places in the Santa Monica area that were still open and delivering pizza at that hour. And so, I guess it's more, clearly we don't have a process or procedure for late night drunken pizza calls, but I think it's just a fun story to illustrate that if you get the culture right and make sure everyone understands the long-term vision of the company, then things like this just kind of take care of themselves, and then you just slowly build your brand, one customer interaction at a time.
But that takes some guts, really, because it takes giving people a really long leash, doesn't it? I mean, there's probably not a whole lot of immediate ROI in looking up pizza joints, right?
No, but it's I guess it's really just about creating as many stories that customers want to tell. And
of course, now are you stimulating more drunks to call you every time you tell that story?
Hopefully not, but we'll take care of them.
So I wonder, there's a couple points I have a couple things. There's a couple points in the book that I wonder if you could say, gosh, here's how we do this at Zappos, or here's how I've learned to do this. And then I mentioned on Twitter today that I was going to be interviewing you, and lo and behold, a couple people said, can you ask Tony this? So I've got a couple of questions from some folks as well. But this is a story that I know I've seen in several places, and but I think it's probably something that's very illustrates a lot of what you're talking about. You have a policy where you actually offer people, and I've heard at different amounts, $1,000 to $2,000 after being there a brief period of time to quit. You want to talk about why in the world you do that?
Sure. So everyone that's hired in our headquarters here in Las Vegas, it doesn't matter what position you're in, you can be an accountant or lawyer or software developer, you go through this exact same training as our, what we call it, our customer loyalty team, but our call center reps. And it's basically a four-week program, and we go over company history, the importance of company culture, and our philosophy about customer service, and then you're actually on the phone for 2 weeks taking calls from customers. And at the end of the first week of training, we make an offer to everyone in the class, and the offer is, we'll pay you for the time that you've already spent training, plus a bonus of $2,000 to quit and leave the company right now. And that's actually a standing offer for until the end of training, and we've actually just extended it even more beyond that. And part of the reason we do that is to weed out the people that are, we don't want people that are working at Zappos just for the money. And you know, for a call center rep, starting pay is $11 an hour. There's plenty of other call centers here in Las Vegas. And so $2,000 is a pretty significant chunk of money for them. And really, we want people who really feel this is a place where it's the culture where they feel at home, that you know matches their own values and personality, and they really believe in the long-term vision of the company and are willing to walk away from $2,000 in order to work towards that vision. The offer actually originally started out at $100, and we continue. The reason I think you've heard different numbers is because we keep upping the offer, and it's now at $2,000.
And so do you get people to take you up on that?
Yeah, so the first year we did it, about 3% of people took the offer, and then the next year was 1%. I don't think anyone took the offer last year, and so that's part of the reason why we keep upping the offer.
Yeah, because so there's a belief, I think, in that, and maybe you would up it to the point where somebody would have to think long and hard about it, right? Because there's your feeling is that somebody who is willing to take the money probably didn't have what you were looking for long term.
So that was actually the original thought behind it. But what we've actually found, the biggest benefit is actually from the people that don't take the offer, because they still have to go home and talk to their friends and family over the weekend and ask themselves, is this a company that I really want to commit to? And when they come back into the office on Monday and turn down the offer, you know, they're that much more committed and passionate about their work and the company, and that's actually the biggest benefit.
That is a tremendous point. Another line that runs through the book is this idea of making customer service, everyone's in the customer service. There's not just a department. So, how do you, practically speaking, really drive that throughout not just the culture, but every job function?
The easiest example is just that because everyone has gone through the call center training during our busy season in the holidays, people from every department actually can and do jump on the phones and answer phone calls. And so that's probably the clearest example. But it's really a philosophy that we try to apply in everything we do, whether it's to each other as customers. So, for example, HR views the rest of the company as their customers. And then for merchandising, that department views, even though technically we're buying from our vendors, we work with over 1,000 different brands. Technically, we're their customer, but we also treat them as if they're our customer. And for example, we'll pick them up from the airport, and we always try to pick up the dinner tab, and we throw a big party for them to show our appreciation for the partnership that we have with them.
Yeah, and I think that if more businesses looked at those relationships as true partnerships, I think they'd probably find that the organizations you mentioned are probably willing to pick you up in some of those cases when you talked about, hey, times were tough, or we had some situation happen. Can you extend us different terms or something? And I think that that's probably how you build those relationships. There was one more that I had on here. You talk about the science of happiness, and obviously title of the book, but it almost reads a bit more like a movement that you personally, you through Zappos, is trying to spread really to the business world in general. Would you say that's accurate?
I'm sorry. I missed that last.
Well, I was just saying. Would you say that it's accurate? It's not just a book. That in a way you are sort of trying to start a movement, or at least teach people about a movement of this kind of science of happiness that as a way of business.
Yeah. That's something that we I think kind of real. So at Zappos we offer tours to the public, and we give tours Monday through Thursdays here in Las Vegas, and anyone that wants to sign up can just go to tours.zappos.com and sign up, and we'll pick you up in the Zappos shuttle and so on. And so we realized that as we started having more and more people come in for tours, people would ask us questions like, what are your interview questions? How do you hire? Or how do you make sure in providing great service to customers that you don't get taken advantage of by customers? Or how do you make sure that a rep doesn't give too much to a customer and that's bad for the company financially, for example? And so we started out just kind of answering those questions just during the tours, but then we started getting more people that wanted to go a lot more in depth. And so we actually have a department now called Zappos Insights, and it has its own separate website. If you go to ZapposInsights.com, there's everything ranging from a monthly subscription video service to you can come in for a two-day immersion in what we do, and we have different departments heads present and so on, and help other companies develop their own strong cultures and values that are right for their companies, and so it's really all about sharing what we've learned and the mistakes we've made, and that's also the point of the book, is to really hopefully have other companies feel inspired to focus more on the happiness of employees and customers. Because I think maybe 50 years ago, profit, you had to make a choice between profits and happiness of whether customers or employees. Whereas I think we're living in a different time now, partly because information just travels so quickly on the internet via Twitter or blogs and so on, that companies are becoming more and more transparent whether they like it or not. And so what we're hoping is, through the book and through the stuff we're doing at Zappos, really other companies can see that it actually is possible to combine profits, passion, and purpose, and that actually using happiness as a framework is actually, in today's world, the right strategy for the long-term financial health of the company. And really, we don't want it to just be about, oh, we're Zappos and we've got a great culture and great customer service, good for us. Like, it's really about spreading and sharing what we've learned to other companies and hopefully inspiring other companies to focus more on culture and customer experience.
And I know you have become a very active speaker on that very subject, and I know that I assume that you're going to stay pretty active doing that, and maybe that'll in some way become your primary role.
I guess one of the tough things about speaking is it doesn't scale well. There's only right. one of me and so many hours in a day. So it's not just me. We actually have other people from Zappos that speak as well. It just depends on the nature of the conference. But that was one of the other reasons for writing the book, is a lot more scalable.
Right.
You can get it out to a lot more more people. And then we also have, and really actually the book is meant more as kind of a starter to this happiness movement that we want to spread. But there's also a website for the book, and right. that's at deliveringhappinessbook.com. And right now, we're kind of in pre-launch mode because the book comes out June 7th. And so it's really more chronicling what we're doing to get ready for the launch. And that's actually been a lot of fun because it's almost like its own mini startup. And we've got a team of 10 people working part-time on it, and there's 1,001 things going on at once. But then post-launch, once the book is actually out, the website is really meant, it is going to transform into a kind of hub for anyone that's interested in being part of the movement, you know, for entrepreneurs and businesses to support each other and say, oh, you know, we tried this idea, which didn't cost a lot, but had this amazing effect, a positive effect on employee morale, and then for people to share ideas and really help spread this idea of, you know, happiness.
Awesome. Tony, I sure appreciate you taking the time. I know you have a lot of requests for this type of thing, but a really tremendous topic, something I'm very interested in. I know a lot of small businesses, this whole line, you know, whether they're going to sell their business for, you know, whatever millions of dollars, or they just want to go home a little earlier at night with a little more satisfaction, and maybe there's two or three of them working in the business. I think this topic is one that is extremely important.
Yeah, and thanks for having me on. And one thing actually I should mention is, do you have bloggers that I assume you have bloggers that subscribe to your podcast?
Absolutely.
And so we actually have we're giving away advanced copies of the book to bloggers, and you can get all the details on the website deliveringhappinessbook.com. And then for people that aren't bloggers, we're actually giving a free advanced copy every day between now in launch in a random drawing. So, so check out the website.
Well, I will send some bloggers your way, Tony.
Okay, great.
All right. I appreciate it very much, and looking forward to diving into the book some more.
All right. Thanks a lot.